to the very first episode of Megan Fun of Sports. I am Megan Gailey, and I am joined by my esteemed co-host, Megan Connolly.
What's going on, Meg? How are you?
Hi! Oh, wow. I'm Meg. I'm so excited. We do both have the name Megan. We do both spell it M-E-G-A-N. I call that the correct way. It was going to be a major issue. I mean, did you think it was going to be a major issue if I had an H in there?
I wouldn't have said it to you because we didn't know each other that way yet, but I would have thought it. I would have been like, come on, get rid of it.
Yeah. It definitely would have messed up. We wouldn't have been able to have this name. You know, we wouldn't have been able to have a play on our name be because it was like, I would, yeah, it just, it, this is better. This is better. Are you the youngest in your family?
I am.
Yes, so am I. And so I love how much we have in common. And so my brother, Michael, I have two older brothers. What's your rundown?
Just one older sister, 14 months apart, Irish twins. Okay. Boom.
So I have two older brothers, and my brother Michael, for a period, was spelling Michael Lickham completely backwards. And my mom was like, I gave him way too many letters. And so she was like, Megan, if you had been first, it would have been like M-E-A-G-H-A-N. But since you were third, I was like, no, as few letters as possible. And
so we have a similar situation with the letters because my grandparents are off the boat from Ireland, and my parents actually were convinced that I was going to be a boy and I was going to be Nolan Ryan. And then I was a girl and they're like, shoot, what do we do? And so they named me Megan Ryan O'Brien, and they just kept the middle name because they didn't want to mess with it. And then my mom wanted M-E-A-G-H-A-N, and my father said, absolutely not. But my grandmother, because that's how they spell it in Ireland,
it is,
always addressed me spelling it that way. All the birthday cards, everything. Yeah, she just refused to spell my name the right way.
Wow. Okay. So this is going to be a podcast about sports, but we did want to introduce ourselves. And we did think part of that was giving the name history. And we are both Irish. It's going to be a shocking amount of things that we have in common. We are both Irish. We have the same name. We are both newlyweds. Megan Connolly got married mere months ago.
Yeah, September 4th. So very, I'm like a month and a half in.
I got married December of 2019, but 2020, that's not a real year. So I think like newlywed game style, I would still be allowed to go on it. Because, you know, they weren't shooting. That's how I deem newlyweds, if you would still be allowed to be on that game. So we're both newlyweds. Both of our husbands work in this industry. Both of our moms are nurses, of course, Irish. Specifically the same kind of nurse, labor and delivery. I think that's also pretty Irish. And then went to hospice nursing. Truly cradle to grave. Nothing in between. I also love babies and old people, and the in-between is tough for me. Now, Megan, what is your mom's name?
Therese.
Therese. Okay. I have a Margaret, a Peggy, and I was thinking that would be it, but I guess we found where our lives go off in different directions.
Margaret, and does she go by Meg? No, Peggy?
She goes by Peggy, and her mom was a Margaret, and she goes by Peggy, and then I have a niece, Margaret, who goes by Maggie. And it's so, my husband, his parents were born and raised in the Philippines and moved here. And so my husband's first generation, and his mom, like when I said my new niece was born, she goes, why do you guys all have the same name? I'm like, that's just, Irish people have five names and then they just rotate them out. Anyone Italian that likes this network has already turned it off. It's like these nasty, no Irish need apply bitches. They gave them a whole platform. Yes, they did. But we have earned it because we are, I was going to say the bad bitches of sports. I don't think that's true. But I'm going to give you a little rundown of Megan Connolly's resume because it is truly impressive. One that I would steal for my own. And I do think this is the beginning of a talented Mr. Ripley situation where I do maybe dye my hair blonde and have a rapid weight loss. Oh my God, I got winded just even talking fast. Okay, Megan Connolly went to Northwestern. Now, I went to
you eye rolled.
No, because I'm jealous. I went to a Big Ten school, but it was not Northwestern. And we like to think of ourselves as academically advanced. I can't even think of the
the worst.
But Northwestern, that's the top. That's the tippy top. And I know Michigan tries to claim it. I think it's Northwestern. I really do.
It is. And Michigan will. They always do that. Wisconsin always kind of heckles us too, like they're cool. Northwestern is the top. The problem is not a lot of people at Northwestern really care about sports. Right. And then those of us who do, it's just heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. So it's tough.
But you guys do have some very distinguished alumni. And I would say one of the most sport-centric Northwestern alumni of all time, Michael Wilbon, who is like on the board there. I think he's like a part of the trustees. I mean, he's a gold standard. And of course, another very famous Meghan Markle.
She does not spell it the right way, though.
She does not. And that's why when they asked me if I wanted to host with her, I said no.
Oh, so then I'm her. Called me out of the bullpen.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But you were my first choice. Meghan, I said, no, you know, she's got this whole thing going with Harry. I'm just going to let her ride that out. And maybe she can do it with Meghan McCain. Okay, so went to Northwestern on a running scholarship. What the fuck? I mean, that pisses me off. Okay. And then went and worked for the Patriots for 5 years. An organization I've hated my whole life, but one also of jealousy, of respect, of hatred, not because they have done anything evil to me, but just have beat the shit out of my beloved Colts.
Not directly to you, but they've done a lot of evil things to the NFL and NFL fans just by dominance, I would say. But I got out at the right time. I'm telling you, got out at the right
time. You did. Yeah. I mean, you left before Tom.
After. I left after Tom. I had 1 year without Tom. Yeah.
You said Tom's gone, I'm gone.
Yeah, it was pretty much like that. The COVID year, it was hard. It didn't even feel like a real year. So sometimes I'm like, did I leave after him? But when Tom left, I was like, I don't really feel this. And then they drafted Mac and now I feel a lot better. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Meghan Connolly hails from Chicago. Massive Chicago sports fans. That does not mean a Cubs fan, okay? That means Bears, Bulls, White Sox, Blackhawks.
That's right. I didn't grow up a Bears fan. I'm not sure for the Bears. I sort of adopted the Patriots as my NFL team. So the Bears have been awful my entire life, except when they played your Colts in the Super Bowl. They were still pretty awful then. I think everyone was cheering. They were like, oh, the Bears, this one's easy.
They had that kickoff return to start the game, and that was exciting.
And that was it.
And that was it. That was definitely it.
That was the rest of the game. The Bulls has been troubling too. Blackhawks, they've had their moments. And the White Sox, a week ago today,
it was an impressive 2021 season, though. And I think a lot of I went into it skeptical of the elder statesman at the helm. And he made me a believer. And I'm so happy that it worked out. It almost had like a bad news Bears. You know, it almost felt like, why does Tony La Russa want to do this? And, you know, he was fresh off of a DUI. So it felt sort of like community service. And then they all got along and loved each other. And I think he's a candidate for manager of the year. So it worked
out. Yeah, I think he should win that award. The only thing that really ticked me off the last game was just total bloodbath. Astros are kicking our ass. And Tony tries to get kicked out. And I'm like, Tony, listen, buddy, if we have to sit through this, you do too. You're not getting kicked out. I know you're an old man, but not getting kicked out. And I was very happy that they did not throw him out. He was asking for it. He was begging. Sit down. We're in this together.
Yeah, when someone does egregious and they don't throw you out, it's like, we want you here. If you're going to take a nap, Tony, you're going to take a nap in the dugout. Okay, so that is Meghan Connolly's stats. Very impressive. Mine, probably less impressive, but let's see if Meghan Connolly can breeze through the Megan Gailey stat sheet.
All right, so Meghan Gailey went to Purdue. Yeah. She hails from Indiana, and neither of us left our home state for college. Neither of us. We were like, nope, staying right here in the Midwest.
And
we
love that.
I flirted with California for a minute, went on a couple visits, and then ended up having Chicago pull me home. But yeah, we stayed in the Midwest, and then Meghan Gailey moved to Chicago, am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because to pursue comedy.
Yep.
And was in Chicago 5 years.
Yeah, wow. You're getting
studied.
Correct.
I made flashcards. And then went to New York for a little while, for a New York minute, and did some more comedy work. And then found her way to LA, where she's working as a stand-up comedian and many other things. HBO, she's a writer, she's a jack of all trades. She's been on Conan O'Brien, which is, I think, very cool. That's what I tell people. I'm like, oh yeah, my co-host, she's been on Conan, not a big deal.
And it doesn't exist anymore, you know? So it's like, it's not going to be a credit that's going to be around for everyone.
No, it's not, but it is legendary, so people will know. And now living in LA still and doing a podcast with me. Yeah. So that's what she's doing.
And those are the stats. So that's a little bit about us. I hope you haven't tuned away so far. Tuned away. Do people tune away in podcasts? I don't know. But we are going to be going through all of the hottest and coolest sports stories of the week and just giving you our takes on them. We're so excited that the NBA season starts today. You may be wondering, why would a Pacers fan be excited? Well, I'm delusional and not well. So that's where that excitement is able to be drawn from. Megan is in her Ja Morant jersey.
Yep, I got it on. I work a job under a fake name, Megan Morant, and I name myself after Ja because I really do wish I could dunk. Like, can you imagine if one day you just woke up? Like, I would do it every day. I would just be like, oh, yeah.
It's my dream. It's my dream. I ask my husband daily, can you dunk yet? And he's like, no. And I'm like, work on it. That's all I would be doing because it's not going to be possible for me. I'm 5'5 white girl. But I'm like, for you, it could be. Even when the mascots jump on the trampoline and do it, I'm like, God, that looks like a thrill.
But I'm excited for the NBA too, because whether you're, you know, a Pacers fan, which has been challenging, or a Bulls fan, which has also been challenging, the NBA is one of those leagues where it's just, there's constant drama. It's like a little soap opera. And I love when the players get involved on Twitter and when they go at each other. And so the NBA is one of those, can't miss television, I would say. Miss league. Even though it's a little too long, but you know, it's fantastic.
And there's enough guys and there's enough teams that it's like everybody can go, you know what, even if that's not my team, I still love watching X play. Now the drama is starting. I guess it's not even, it's been drama that they were trying to pretend wasn't drama. And now season opener is back full force. Ben Simmons, as of this morning, was thrown out of practice by Doc Rivers and suspended for the season opener. There was footage that emerged of him yesterday practicing, truly air quotes, in sweats with his cell phone in his pocket.
Are we surprised by any of this?
No, it was incredible. I'm like, yes, this is actually how, because the thing is, if he came and was like all in and doing suicide, she'd be like, this isn't real. So it's like, yes, he came back as his authentic self. And isn't that all we're asking people to be in this year of 2021? To just be themselves.
My favorite is that, like, he wasn't going to show up, and then he arrived, I think, last week for COVID testing. Just like, hey, everyone, I'm here. Like, acting like nothing at all happened. But then clearly, you know, he hasn't changed. He still can't shoot outside of when he's at the rim. And he practices with a cell phone in his pocket. Nobody wants him there. And my favorite part about this is that Philly fans are so passionate. Ooh, some of the most
very
passionate.
Nice way to say it.
And I think they're I would be afraid to be on the streets if I was
100%. I would be terrified. He came back and he made everything worse, which is honestly, you have to admire that in a person that's like, put me in a room, things are going to go poorly. I do love that. I have a genuine soft spot for Ben Simmons because I loved the documentary about him called Benny, that was like all about his family and his road to the NBA. And he just comes across as such a sweet boy. And so I don't know what happened. I genuinely don't, but this really is drama that the rest of the country can get behind. And I think Philly is one of those towns that everybody has, at least knows the reputation that they can be absolutely brutal fans. And so when you see them angry, it is kind of funnier. You know, it's like that, like, remember like bagel guy who was like freaking out? Like, it's like a man who's so angry about something that like he does not need to be that angry about. And that seems to be all of Philly fans. I am taking personal joy in it because Eagles fans have been taunting Indianapolis Colts fans because we are probably going to have to give up a first round draft pick for Carson Wentz. And so they comment and troll on every single positive thing. And so it's like, yes, the Eagles are not that good. And also your team is in utter disarray. And I say that with absolute love for Doc Rivers. So Megan, at this point, like, what do they even, throw out good idea, bad idea, anything to help them?
Well, does anyone want Ben Simmons? Like, I know he wants to be traded, but does any organization want him? I mean, at first it was like, I thought maybe the Bulls would take Ben Simmons and I was going to talk myself into it. But then they got Zach LaVine and then they got Ball and it was like, okay, do they really need Ben Simmons?
No, you can't have a Ball in it. You can't have a Ball in a Simmons. No.
No, I don't think that will work. And then, you know, you look at the situation in Brooklyn, like they already have their own issues with Kyrie. They don't want Ben Simmons. I don't know if anyone really wants him. Like, what's he going to do? Where is he going to go? And what's Embiid going to do? Like, is Embiid going to personally escort him out of Philadelphia? I mean, he might.
And I do think that the 76ers front office was doing a pretty good job of being like, listen, he's really good. You know, just trying to be like, we don't want to say we got a lemon when we got a lemon. And he obviously can score some points, but what they want for him in return, it's as insane as the LA housing market. Like, it's, I'm not saying he's a teardown, but the kitchen definitely needs some work. So I am shocked he's not on the Pacers at this point because I'm like, Indianapolis seems to just be a dumping ground for Philadelphia trash at this point. Not that he's trash and not that Carson Wentz is trash. I'm just saying hypothetically. And they're going to have to bring the price down, but it seems like Doc doesn't want him there. Embiid does not want him there. He doesn't want to be there. I don't even know how this come back and practice for 2 days idea came about, but they got it. You're right. He's not safe in Philadelphia. He is truly unsafe in that city.
I agree. I don't understand. It's like, dude, no one wants you. Just go take this off season, work on your shot, you know, come back with your tail in between your legs and just play. I mean, the only way that this could go well was like if he issued an apology to Philly and there's the drive to deep left field by Castellanos. I'm just kidding. But if he issued an apology to Philly and then he comes in and he just balls out, like then it would be fine. We forget about it. It's over. But he couldn't even do that. So now I think the process is over. If I'm a 76ers fan, I no longer trust this process, which is really unfortunate because they built it up. They centered all their marketing around this. You get Simmons, you have Embiid. It looks like you're going to have a great team.
They've got some great young guys too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The guy who was vlogging in the bubble. I love him. Was that Tobias? Maybe that was him. Someone was vlogging and I loved him and he's young, but it is. Yeah. You got to get him. You got to get him out of there. And if he comes to Indianapolis, we'll be nice. That's what I know about Indy, unfortunately. So I guess
he's such a unique player though. Like he's a 7-foot point guard. You don't get that a lot. He's a great defender. I mean, if you're 7 foot, like, can't you learn how to shoot? Like, I mean, look, I'm saying this as someone who is probably the worst person at basketball in the entire country. But, I mean, I'm really bad, Meg.
I'm pretty bad.
But I could definitely take a charge. But he can't do it. So I think, I don't know, someone has to take Ben Simmons off Philly's hands.
Yeah, I played recreational basketball for 1 year in middle school. I scored 0 points. I fouled out of multiple games. And my biggest highlight was one game my parents were out of town and I just had my braces tightened and I took too much Tylenol. And in the middle of the game, I puked through my hands onto the court. And I heard people go, her parents are out of town. Like, of course, this is what happens when you leave.
Did a babysitter have to, like, take care of you, clean it up? What happened?
I ran to the bathroom. By the time I got back, it was cleaned up. But I was definitely on the bench. So we offer all of that criticism with our own grain of salt. And And we do, I think I speak on behalf of both of us. We want him to land someplace and to have a career. I don't want it, this to be. And the East is like, I wouldn't say it's wide open. I don't know why everyone's counting out the Bucks. But Brooklyn's having issues. Like, it's a winnable conference if they could just get it together. Okay. Truly one of our favorite stories. I think we'll be able to look back at this story and go, this is what bonded our friendship. The Urban Meyer out at the nightclub doing whatever he was doing. And I've been in that position before, okay? I've been that gal, so I'm not here to pass judgment. He finally, the Jacksonville Jaguars, won a game in London. Megan, what was your first thought when you saw that they won?
Well, this is really the only thing good that could happen to Urban right now. Like, he needed a win, right? Like, he needed something to take away the attention from this young woman that he was dancing with. I don't know. Yeah, we want to call it
that's
dancing.
That's a nice way. That's a nice way.
But the first thing you think is, like, he getting on that plane? Is he boarding the flight? Or is he staying in London to celebrate? Because I think everyone is wondering, like, where is Urban's head after all of this? And I also want to know, because I've been closely monitoring his wife's social media account, which she said she was getting off Twitter, and she's not.
Like, she's not off?
There for a while. She was there, and then she wasn't, and then I think she's back. But this pink flamingo thing keeps coming up. I wanted to know, did the wife make the trip with Urban, or how did that all
did she
pan out there?
Right. Or was that too conspicuous to be like, oh, now his wife is going everywhere with him? Like, did they hire a babysitter? Did she send, like, her friend's husband? And, like, Steve just needs to be with Urban no matter where he goes.
Or did they just find someone, like, monitor situations better? Like, hey, Urban, you can go out, but, like, we have this guy with you. He's going to make sure that no one takes pictures. Because that could definitely happen. Have, like, a bodyguard, security guard. I mean, come on. Like, these people go everywhere. So there's going to be phones. Everybody carries a camera in their pocket. So I imagine A-listers or people like coaches, people who are moderately famous, they have to have some type of security telling people to delete pictures off their phones.
I know of a famous person who has a man with him, and if he sees someone taking a picture, if someone is seen taking a picture, this like bouncer bodyguard of a type breaks the phone on the spot and then writes them a check for a new phone.
Like literally just breaks it?
Breaks
the phone. Like doesn't even delete the picture?
No, breaks the phone.
Is this man, like, is he jacked?
I believe this phone breaker doubles as a bodyguard, so I think he is jacked.
Does he smash it on the ground, or does he break it in half? Like, I would love to see this happen.
I hope it's truly, like, a break in half or, like, a biting, but it may be a phone. It may be a ground smash. But that's, like, that's what I kept thinking when Urban got in trouble in the first place. Like, I was like, oh, he's a grandpa. Like, he's too old to know that he needs a guy in his crew to be like, we got to get out of here. Or, like, I'll take the fall. I'll stand in front of. Like, Urban, people are doing this. Like, Urban is not the first man to, you know, go underneath the center like that. But we just have not seen it because they have a fall guy in their crew to make sure that doesn't happen. But Urban, he's aged out of that. So I like to think he went back to the Jaguars and was like, listen, I'm sorry, but also, like, can you guys give me some tips for this not to happen again? And they just had like a half day of meetings where the Jacksonville Jaguars were sharing with Urban how to cheat on your wife and not get caught. That's what I hope happened.
Yeah, they definitely had to have that type of seminar, like a whiteboard included and just diagramming, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. But I also am amazed, like, the team, is he the laughingstock of the team right now? I mean, I read this beautiful article, I mean, every Monday I read it, the Albert Breer Monday Morning Quarterback, and it was great about, like, Trevor Lawrence gave him a hug, and I was like, coach, you know, even if we don't win, we won, and it was just a beautiful moment. I'm like, aren't they sort of laughing inside that this is their coach?
I bet they are, but I bet they're also like, we're 1-5. You know, so it's – and that's recent. So it's probably hard to be pointing and laughing at someone when you yourselves are a little bit of the laughing stock. And I say that with genuine appreciation for them being in the AFC South. Speaking of, my Indianapolis Colts beat up on the Texans this weekend. I did not watch it. The Monday night loss, whew, had me so shook that I honestly did not believe Purdue was going to beat Iowa until the clock struck zero. They were up 24-7 with 30 seconds left, and all I kept seeing was Lamar Jackson in my head, and I was like, you never know what could happen, like a true woman having a meltdown. So I did not watch most of this Colts game. Thrilled to have T.Y. back. Does it make up for the Monday night disaster? No. All it did to me was go, I feel really bad for the Texans. And I don't know if that's like an aging thing to be like, why do I feel sad? Why am I feeling sad for Davis Mills? But that's where I'm at now.
I think Davis Mills is like okay, though. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be great, but I think
he's doing better than me.
He's
in a mansion, solid. I'm sure. And
like, yeah. I mean, I don't think, look, I'm not building a franchise around him. I'm definitely not buying. If I'm Davis Mills, I'm renting. But I think like he's been okay. Like they've had some bad losses. The Colts won. They almost beat the Patriots. And I know you can't like tip your hat on these almost, but he hasn't been an absolute train wreck. And for the off season that the Texans have had with all of the Deshaun Watson stuff and all of the stuff with that they're coaching higher and it just got really, really ugly over there. So I think the fact that Davis Mills hasn't been a train wreck is a win, but they still have a lot to sort out. I mean, your Colts, though, they're I don't want to point out the obvious here, but they're like win clock, I think, is tapping out a little bit. I mean, they have all those young offensive linemen. They have some good players. So, like, they need to win now. So this was pretty much a must-win game for them. And I knew it, and that's why I picked up Carson Wentz for my fantasy team. And I picked up your defense, won the game. So thank you, Megan. I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for you. And I think that's a good bounce back. I think heading into this week, this is a good sign for your Colts. I think we have a lot to be happy about.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely would have preferred the Tennessee Titans lose last night, but that did not happen. A team that did lose, your beloved Patriots, an overtime back and forth incredible game to watch if you have no stake in it. And so now they're at 2-4. And the Cowboys improved to 5-1, a team that I suddenly like because of Hard Knocks propaganda. What do you think, knowing like the inside scoop of how New England deals with adversity, what do you think the mood is like? I mean, it's like a strange word to even say next to them. What do you think the mood is in Foxborough?
Well, first of all, the Cowboys tried to lose. Like, they did everything they could to lose. I think they had something like 90 plays compared to the Patriots' 50-some-odd plays. And then a million yards and penalties that were accepted and then a handful that weren't accepted. Like, they definitely tried to give the game to the Patriots. And then the 4th-and-1, like, not going for it. And I know 4th-and-1, it was a rough week for 4th-and-1 in the NFL, but not going for it. I was like, I'm not so sure about that. But, fumbling in the end zone? Come on, like, twice, not once, twice. Like, you can't do that if you want to win games. So they tried to give it to the Patriots. The Patriots looked absolutely terrible, but somehow or another made this game close. And I think, I mean, it's like Patriots fans are probably, what they're going to do is they're going to call for Belichick's job, which I think is silly. Like, it's very silly. Because
you really think they will? Well,
if you listen to Boston Sports Talk Radio, a lot of people will call it. I mean, it's the callers. It will be the callers that call in and say, like, hey, Belichick should be
those
done.
Those are the most insane people. If you call into sports radio, you should have you should not be able to vote. Like, you're truly bonkers bananas. But feel free to call us, DM us.
I think Patriots fans are very frustrated. I mean, look, this is the first time that they really face adversity in 20-plus years. I think the bright side is that Mac Jones looks good.
Yeah.
Right? He looks very good. He doesn't have a lot to work with. I mean, the Hunter Henry, he's good. And their running backs have been very inconsistent and lots of fumbling. Their defense looks absolutely atrocious. And so people wonder now, why is Stephon Gilmore no longer on the team? Mm-hmm. And he's allegedly practicing with Carolina this week. So who knows about that. But I think like the bottom line is like Belichick just hasn't drafted well in 5-6 years. And now you have all, you have this quarterback that's pretty good. He has no offensive line. You have like receivers that are meh. You have a slow linebackers and the secondary looked crappy, but they kept themselves in the game because they didn't commit a lot of mental errors and McCarthy tried to give it to him.
Yes. Is Belichick, he's in charge of the draft. I mean, we see him sitting like a curmudgeon in his office. And do you think that when people are calling for his job, maybe they're saying, maybe let's bring in, he's earned the right to be in charge of everything. But given how this team is lacking in some areas, do you think there will be any conversation, be it Robert Kraft saying, maybe we bring in a GM? I don't know. Never mind.
The problem is like in order to have Bill, like it has to be this way. Otherwise he's not going to do it. It's Bill's way or the highway. It's even interesting. Like at the end of the first half, the Patriots decided to take a knee. They didn't even try to go for anything. They called their timeout and then they ran back out on the field and Mac Jones took a knee. And it was like, why wouldn't you try? There's time left on the clock. Maybe, you know, get a field goal, worst case scenario, just don't turn the ball over. And they decided to take a knee. And Josh McDaniel's press conference today, he said, when Bill Belichick tells us to do something, we do it. So it's kind of like, now are other people starting to throw Belichick under the bus because they don't like
Josh McDaniel. I don't know if I hate anyone more than that man for what, I mean, he truly left me personally at the altar. So, and I'm happy to not have him, but, and then what is the man with the mullet? What's his deal?
Oh, Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, that is Bill's son.
That's Bill's son?
Yeah, the one who was licking his lips like the tongue was out the whole time.
And who's his mom?
Bill's ex-wife.
Bill's ex-wife. Now, we need to get to her. Now, there's some answers there, I think.
With
just life in general. Steve? Just life in general. I would love to get some early Bill stories, you know?
Yeah, early time Bill Belichick stories. Well, now Linda is the new lady. Oh, yeah. She's been around for quite some time.
I've seen Linda. And they like ran a half marathon together. Did he run a full marathon
too? Oh, yeah. No, just the half. I saw the picture on the broadcast. Yeah, Linda's lovely. She's around all the time. She's actually really, really fun to talk to. She's lovely.
She seems like a nice lady. I've only seen them sitting courtside together, and she was like laughing and having fun. You have to imagine she's bringing the energy to the relationship. You know, like she's picking where they go to dinner. Yeah.
Yeah, Bill would just stay, I think, in one room and watch football all day. So Linda probably provides the balance in the life. Definitely. No question. There was one time he wore that like Nantucket jacket with like the pink stripes. Linda chose it. There's no way. I mean, he wears cutoff hoodies for a reason. Yeah. So the Patriots, though, I think it's like New Englanders are holding onto this hope where they're like, we could still make the playoffs. But when you really think about it, do you want to?
Like, ooh, girl, you're asking a dang Colts fan. That's what it's. You get to listen, if you get to go, if you get invited, you have a fun time, but then it's like you lose in the first round. I guess the thought is, and we all can point to that Giants team that did it, that, you know, sort of went in had a terrible year and then went into the playoffs with some momentum, but a little bit ass backwards and then was able, like, NFL teams, momentum is so massive for them that it's like if you squeak in, you're going to lose. But if you go in with some like energy and some like maybe we can do this and you've had a winning streak, you probably could win some games. But yeah, I don't know. Is it fun to just lose in the first round of the playoffs? I'm asking myself that and, you know, my therapist. So I don't know. TBD, I guess.
Yeah, they have a lot of holes. So you're like, maybe just, you know, don't go to the playoffs and rebuild. But Belichick's never, I mean, look, they're going to be in every game. They never get blown out. They rarely ever get blown out. If you're like a lot of people before the Brady homecoming, like, oh, it's going to be a blowout. It's like the Patriots, when have they ever been blown out? Like it barely ever happens. So they're going to be in every game. And even when, like, you look at the Saints game earlier this year, it was like they were down and out of that game, and they just, they don't give up. So
I think that's almost got to be in some ways harder on the fans, because it's like you feel like you could win every game. And that's psychological warfare.
Well, as close as that game was to, like, the Patriots winning, I mean, yeah, it went to overtime. It was also equally as close to being a blowout. Like, if they don't fumble in the end zone, and if they get it on fourth and one, like, there it is. There's your blowout. Like, it was one or two plays away from being Dallas domination. And it was also one or two plays away from being, like, Patriots are in it, you know?
I'm just so excited that that mullet man is his son. Wow, this is really exciting news for me. Another story that came out of Sunday, I guess it's still on the field related, literally, was Patrick Mahomes' brother, TikTok sensation, Jackson Mahomes, dancing on Sean Taylor's memorial in the Washington Football Stadium. Megan, give me your thoughts when you saw this and now after.
Well, I am not a big Jackson Mahomes fan. I'm also not a big Brittany Matthews fan either. Are you familiar?
I'm more familiar with Jackson. I'm less familiar with Brittany, to be honest. Okay.
Well, Jackson is a famous TikToker, and Brittany is Patrick Mahomes' fiance and baby mama, and they are best friends. And to me, they are just so obnoxious. And I think that's actually the point.
Jackson and Brittany are best friends.
Yes.
Okay, love that. At least want a reality show. And maybe that's what they're gunning for, and I will watch it. They should. I'm prime demo. I've seen every episode of Catching Kelsey. So you saw it, and you were...
Well, my initial reaction was like, ugh, this guy is absolutely disgusting. Like, what scum. But then I did a little more digging on what actually transpired in Washington with the Sean Taylor ceremony. And the Washington football team is an absolute disgrace. Yeah. They decided, like, what, 48 hours before that?
Retire Sean Taylor's number? Then we don't notify really anybody about it. Then we put his number on the field where all of the VIPs are supposed to stand. There was pictures of all the VIPs standing on it. It wasn't just Jackson Mahomes.
Right.
Then the owner comes out to honor the family wearing a hooded sweatshirt.
We don't want to see you right now, sir. And maybe not ever again. We're good on you.
Ever. And then the Sean Taylor Way, the street named after him where they dedicated to it, they take a picture, there's like five porta potties lined up in front of it.
Yeah, you have to imagine, based on what's happening in the Washington football world right now, that they, I mean, like, this is cynical and not nice of me to think that they were like, let's put together some good PR. You know, like, it felt very Veep. Like, just like, what can we do? What can we do? And it's like, okay, but, like, we all, this feels very transparent. And, like, you're nasty still, you know, like, it's, this doesn't take away your guilt in what you've done in all of these scandals that have led up to this moment. My thing with Jackson is I know someone that has worked very closely with him and a former NFL employee, and she sings his praises and says he's lovely. And he just genuinely, I think, likes TikTok and likes social media and happens to be the brother of a famous athlete. And so when I saw it, I was like, oh, this isn't great. And then I didn't realize at first that he was, like, inside the white, like, that had been blocked off. I thought he was just, like, in the end zone and had actually, like, wandered over there or wherever it was. But he, like, it was like he stepped over the velvet rope to be on it. So you're like, that's not great, actually.
Yeah, I didn't examine the comments like you did. And I think after learning more about the situation, I'm more on his side. But I also kind of wonder, like, Washington was desperate for some good PR, right? Like, desperate. So maybe they realize, like, that they totally fucked it up. And then they're like, hey, let's make this Jackson video. Like, it was already going to go viral. But then, like, hey, let's put them over here. We'll do this thing. Maybe it was a conspiracy with Washington. So, like, take the attention off of us and then like put all the hate on Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah. Our lovely producer did just share a photo with us. And it is Jackson and Brittany standing on it, but there's also like a ton of other people standing on it.
I think the bottom line for all of this is like, who really messed up in this situation? The Washington football team.
And he continues to, like, who has a pattern of doing bad things? Daniel Snyder. Like, it's like the root. And now, I mean, this is a great segue into, you know, some fun we're going to have with the John Gruden situation. If there's any fun to be had, who was at the root of all of this shit? Jackson Mahomes, Gruden. It's Daniel Snyder. Like, he's at the top of this shit heap and he keeps skating by. And it's so confusing to me.
But they did examine 650,000 emails and allegedly found absolutely nothing.
I ain't except buying it. Nah. There's no way.
To John Gruden. Like, how is that a thing? 650,000 emails. It's like, nope, we identified the one and only guy. Nah. And Daniel Snyder is totally fine.
Nope.
Like, I'm kind of mad if I'm the Raiders. I'm like, why are all these other owners protected and I'm not?
Yeah. It did feel like he should be gone. Like,
yes,
what John Gruden did, horrible. It felt scapegoaty. Like, And I'm almost shocked that they chose John Gruden to be the scapegoat, just because it seems like he's so publicly beloved. But it is like no one else did anything. No one, like, it's like when you go through, you know, we've all like probably gone to our Twitter and been like, let me look up the bads, you know, like the top tier bad ones. And you're almost like, there's no way I would ever tweet that. But I just see this stuff coming out that it's like, I got to make sure. And I don't know if his were so abhorrent. That's probably not how you pronounce it.
Abhorrent?
Western. you're going to have to be like my Jeopardy judges.
Spell check?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not good at that.
Abhorrent, whatever. So, but them coming out and being like, we checked everything, we're good. It's like, there's no fucking way, you guys. Twitter is like, we're all making fun of you.
Absolutely no way.
No one else called Goodell a pussy. Okay. Like, I just did. I don't even think he's a pussy, but I just said it.
There has to be something else. And I want to know how much they paid to make it go away.
Yeah. Oof. All right. So we thought it would be fun to maybe come clean on an email or two that we're embarrassed of. Megan, do you have any emails you'd like to come clean on before the NFL gets to them?
Well, I don't have an email, but I was thinking this. And I think it's eye-opening when you really think about this era that we're about to enter. We are very close. I'm talking maybe 5 years away from having almost everybody having sent a naked photo in their life.
Yeah.
Like people in positions of power and everything. So I wonder, like, now the emails are starting to get hacked. Like, when is Snapchat, when are our text messages going to be read? Because there used to be, like, in the old days before iPhones, like, if you were sending a text that you were like, oh no, you could hit the red end button and save yourself. Like, you have a solid 45 seconds to save yourself from embarrassment, humiliation, offending people. Now you send that text, it's gone. It's definitely gone. So I wonder when the text messages and the Snapchat pictures will be leaked, because there has to come a moment, right? When all of that stuff is out there.
Yeah,
one thing I am very embarrassed about, though, my original email, because I was a big runner, was Homer Cross Country Runner 1 at, I think, Comcast.net. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was a great idea to have that as my email. And
I think that's cute.
What was your AIM profile?
Mine was Meg6325 AIM. Because the last four digits of my childhood phone number were 6325.
Well, at least yours was like you incorporated your name. Like mine were some really weird things. Mine were like, I love Disney Channel 77 or something like that.
It was like a trend at my school to have like your nickname, but no one, like, Megs, no one called me that. That's a nickname I gave myself that I didn't even want to catch on. But a lot of people had, like, Gap Girl, AF Chick, like, people, American Eagle Baby, like, people did have funny. So I guess I can stand by my Meg 6325. I've been doing a joke for a while about wanting my nudes to get out there, because I feel like they're good. You know, they're the ones I send. So I've deleted any bad ones. And if I thought they were good enough to send to a man I was courting, then I think they're good enough for the public to see. And so I've been making a call for someone to hack into my iCloud, but I guess people have been busy that they haven't gotten around to it. I once sent a Facebook message. I mean, if we went into my Facebook messages, it would be dark times. But I do recall sending a professional Facebook message to a friend who was working on a show, the Norm MacDonald Sports Show, rest in peace to the show and the man. And I was like, I think I was living in Chicago at the time. I had never worked on anything. And I was like, I am willing to do anything to work on this show. I will get coffees. I'll be a PA. You guys can put cigarettes out on me if you want to. And that was my pitch to be hired in a professional aspect. And
you put that language in the email. You can put cigarettes,
out on me.
And you thought it would be impressive?
Yeah, I did.
Did they reply?
He did reply. And he said, we're getting canceled. So, but to me that said, hey, if we weren't, we'd be hiring you.
That wasn't a no.
It wasn't a no. And I'm friends with that person I sent that message to till this day.
Wow. Now, yeah. I am a big respond to email on my phone person, which is bad because the autocorrect is terrible on my phone. I don't even know where it comes up with the stuff it comes up with.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not saying duck. You know I'm saying fuck. Just come on. Duck. Yeah. I'll let you know if I'm saying duck.
I emailed a wedding vendor recently and said, was asking him about the lighting. And for some reason, it autocorrected to, hey, baby, do you have an update on the lighting? And I already sent it because I didn't, I was just like, click send. And then I went back and looked and I was like, oh my God, I did not mean to call you baby. And the worst part was he just replied, ha, like, that's it. Nothing else. And we actually ended up hiring a different lighting guy.
No, this was, he was just giving you like a what is it? A quote.
Yeah, it was a weird time because it was like weddings weren't happening and then suddenly weddings were happening. So like no one was taking clients and then everybody was taking clients and then everyone wants to get married in September. So it was booked. And so I was trying to like use a connection to get in touch with a lighting guy. And I think I ruined the connection by calling him baby.
Yeah.
But then found lights a different way. So it worked out.
Did you and your husband have any massive wedding related fights?
Fights, no, but stressful situations, yes, because the venue we had it at said like, hey, you guys work in TV. Like if you create us a media library, we will give you the venue for free.
What?
And so I love a good deal. There's nothing more I love than a sale.
That's like you're
or
a reality star. Oh my God.
So I said, yeah, Andrew will definitely create you a media library. He will shoot everything for you. And he is looking at me like, I will? I was like, oh yeah, you will. And so then I got a new job and it moved us to Florida. And Andrew said to me, so how exactly are we going to do the shoot that you set me up for? And I said, don't worry, we'll figure it out. And I really had no idea how we were going to figure it out. But basically like signed him up for all of this work that he was not ready to do or didn't have the equipment to do. And it ended up being fine. We called in favors. We had friends let us borrow cameras. We flew in. We had to do this huge shoot for 2 days before the wedding. There were some days where he was looking at me like, you're dead to me. But he married me. So it was
fine. Wow.
And I basically was there as like the runner. Like I would get him coffee and stuff. Because I don't know how to do the technical aspects of television.
We had a massive fight, and I only bring this up because it is sports related. We had a massive fight. it was one-sided. It was me. I was fighting with someone who did not want to fight. But I was very upset because some pies for the rehearsal dinner had not been ordered. And I got so angry that I took my husband's laptop and he says I gronked it, like I spiked it on the table, like gronk, to the point that he was like, should I leave the house? Like, this woman seems unhinged, just screaming about pies. And so when I went to my final dress fitting, we were not speaking. And like, I told my wedding planner that, you know, she's like, how are things? I'm like, you know, I spiked his computer. And so we are not speaking. And she was like, honestly, for this phase, totally normal. Like, she's like, you will not be my first or last bride not speaking to her husband at her final fitting.
Now, do you fight about sports with your husband ever?
No, my main issue is, so I'm loyal to my teams. Like, I've lived in the three largest cities, the three biggest, like, sports cities, and I stay true to Colts, Pacers. I ride pretty hard for Purdue. And then, like, I've picked up the Dodgers since being out here. So I think that's a trait that you would want in a partner. My husband, on the other hand, is a front runner, as my dad would say. And so, you know, he's like, I like players. And so it's just like, you know, he likes LeBron. And so he's gotten to be a fan of multiple different teams that won championships because LeBron was on them. But, like, I'm still upset about the Malice at the Palace. And so it is difficult to be like, you will cheat on me. You know, like, you seem to have no loyalty to the things that you have promised your life to. And so we fight about that. And I wish he cared about the Colts more. And he says he does. And that's insane for me to say that.
Well, my husband is a Boston fan. But he hates the Patriots. Used to love them, hates them now. But like, I just look at him. I'm like, you don't get it. Like, you haven't had a bad day in your life. And then they'll always be like, oh, 2004. Oh. It's like, yeah, but how many have you won since then?
Yeah.
They're like, well, 2004 was unlike anything. I was like, well, the next year the White Sox won and they hadn't won in 88 years, which was longer than the Red Sox drought. It's like, I just don't understand the Boston sports fans when they get sad, because I'm like, you have not had a bad day in 20 plus years.
No. Like, it's like a hot girl. You just don't get it. Sad. No, they had to change the ending of Fever Pitch because they want, like, it's like, that is Hollywood level, like, dreams coming true. They should never be sad ever again.
No, but I liked it. He's a huge Celtics fan. That's the team that he rides and dies with. And I like to troll him about the Celtics. Like, I really do think Jason Tatum is good. Love but, him. Like, the whole finals when Devin Booker was playing well, I'd be like, well, you know, Devin Booker is a winner. And I would kind of rather have him over Tatum. And I don't really mean that when I say it. I just kind of, like, drop the bomb to get him to go off. And then, well, Jason Tatum's ceiling is higher. And I'm like, well, I don't know, like, Devin Booker's more of a competitor than Tatum. Yeah. Tatum is, like, very complacent. Every now and then he has his breakout games, but Devin Booker, he, like, when his name's called, like, he's ready to go. And so I just like to stir the pot a lot. And so he calls me a Twitter egg because I do that with the Celtics.
Okay. But I think that's part of being married, is harassing your partner.
Yeah. About the, but he's a players fan too. Like, he always tells me, we respect LeBron in this house. We don't hate him. We respect him. So,
yeah, my husband went to work today in a Lakers six jersey. So we more than respect LeBron in this house. And sometimes I feel second to LeBron.
That's tough.
It is tough. It is tough to admit publicly.
But I guess if you're going to be second to someone, it might as well be like one of the best players to ever play.
It's definitely a go, you know. I like to think there's multiple goats. And I hated Jordan until The Last Dance. And so that my husband's happy that I came around on that.
You came around too. You needed that in your life.
Yeah, he ruined a lot of my childhood, you know. But it wasn't specific to me. That's just how it went.
He was just unbelievable.
I know.
I mean, Boston fans have another thing coming for them because they have, you know, they're going to be in the World Series again. And I mean, it's just the way it's going to go.
Speaking of the Red Sox, not cruising, they're just up 2-1. Give us your takes as a former Boston native, not native, former Boston, I mean, former Boston celeb.
I don't know if I'd jump right to celeb, but I mean, I'll take it. It's like, all right, fine. You're calling me the celeb, so we'll take it. I don't know if it's jealousy or what it is. I'm just like so annoyed with Red Sox fans. I do have to admit though, like it was hilarious the way that they were trolling. Oh my God, why am I having a brain fart? They were trolling A-Rod. That was amazing when they were doing that. I love it. They were chanting J-Lo. It was just fantastic. And Big Poppy was there just absolutely loving it. But like, can we go 1 year where Boston is just like not good mediocre at anything?
Yeah.
Like they purposely tried to make this team mediocre. Like they didn't spend money. They did nothing at the trade deadline. They're like, we're good this year. The Henrys are building like a whole new thing around Fenway. They're like, we'll spend our money in that. And they're still going to go to the freaking World Series. Like, yeah. I mean, look, the Astros don't leave anything out. They cheat. It's great. I am one of the few, I don't know who I'm rooting for. I hate the Astros too.
Yeah.
I guess Boston. It's so hard. Like they're both not likable.
Right. It's kind of like a perfect matchup in that way. Because, you know, and Astros fans, I do fight with them sometimes. And they're like, most of that team is gone and they paid their dues. And it's like, Altuve's still there. And to me, that he's the most egregious. And I loved him. And so I think he hurt so many of us because he's just so little. And so it felt like such a nice little fun guy to get behind. And then, you know, for them to be blatantly cheating and win the World Series and not be stripped of it, it's a tough pill to swallow. And so it feels very easy to root for the Red Sox.
That, like, has hurt my heart a little bit.
I know,
like,
I'm really sorry. Because I do love the White Sox. It feels very easy to root for the Red Sox, given the Astros' history. I do think, and obviously the Dodgers are down 0-2 right now and have a 2 p.m. start time here in L.A. today. They obviously need to win both games back here in L.A. I do think it would be poetic for the Dodgers and the Astros to meet in the World Series. No cheating. And then, and the teams are different. A lot, you know, some great Dodgers players are gone. Some great cheating Astros are gone. And have that matchup again. But I do like watching the Astros lose. And I like Dusty Baker. I think he's a nice old man. And I would love to, you know, have tea with him.
Yeah, he was very into, he had like the latex gloves, was completely covered up when he played the White Sox. He was like very taking COVID protocols to the next level.
Yeah, he's like, if I get COVID, it's Colin Powell time for me. So
I guess I'm with you. I mean, I don't know. I can't root for the Astros, but like, I'm just more or less jealous of the Red Sox because it's like, come on, even when they don't want to be good, they're still good. So it is what it is.
Listen, outside looking in, I think those White Sox, they're young. I think they're going to come back and they're going to have a really bad taste in their mouth and they're going to stick it to some fuckers next year. I think they've got years left of being good.
I got to give it to you about your Dodgers and your city. I mean, your whole city, for like baseball sort of dying, your whole city rallies around the Dodgers.
When the Dodgers win, it's bigger than the Lakers. It really is. Like, this city rides so hard for the Dodgers in a way that I've never seen. It's truly beautiful. When fireworks go off in our neighborhood, I mean, it's really family oriented too. Like, you just see whole families going there. It means, and it kind of, for a city that's so economically, like, on opposite ends of the spectrum, super like terrible wealth disparity, a Dodgers game, it's like you do see everybody like come together, rich, not so rich people who, you know, were displaced by the stadium being built. Everybody does like rally, and it was easy for me to get behind it. They have the same exact color scheme as my Indianapolis Colts. So
there you go. You didn't have to buy any new clothes. Love that. No.
And I love Mookie. Ugh, would leave my whole family behind.
I love Mookie too. He's really wonderful. I went to this great bar in LA, Founders Ale House. It was wonderful. It was almost like Cheers. It was like everyone knew each other at the bar. They all was like their Sunday routine, and then the Dodgers came on, and all of these people just rallied in.
Yeah,
everybody. Like I said, it was like just this classic neighborhood bar. And people, the NFL was on, but they were just focused on the Dodgers. You don't find that often. No. So that was cool.
No, and I think LA gets a lot of shit. And it's like, it is, you know, when the Rams were in the Super Bowl, nobody cared. And nope. No, people care less about the Chargers. So when they're talking about a Rams-Chargers Super Bowl, I'm like, oh boy. But Dodgers, Lakers, they ride really, really, really hard for. Let's wrap up this first episode with some fantasy football and fantasy QB talk. There, I mean, you were texting me last week about just the absolute buffet of amazing quarterback play that's happening in the NFL right now. Who, you said you picked up Wentz. I hope he's not been your quarterback the whole time.
No, so I'm in three leagues. I'm in a family league. I'm in a, well, it's in my in-laws, so it's the other side. I'm in a current work league and I'm in a past work league. And, this is the first time I've done three, and I think three is the most you can do while being invested. My husband's in seven. And
oh no.
It's just, I don't know how you do that. Two of them are 10 team. One of them is 14 team league, and the 14 team league, I waited too long in the draft to pick up quarterback and ended up having a panic draft pick of Matt Ryan. And then I picked up Jameis Winston because I was like, oh, Winston will be okay. The first week when Winston looked unbelievable, he was sitting real pretty on my bench. So then I started him the next week and he obviously didn't do well. So that league I've been kind of like picking up guys every week. I had Taylor Heineke for a week. Okay. 1 week it went well. 1 week it went terrible. I've had Wentz. This week is challenging. Oh, my other league. I hate being that person like, oh, my other league and my $100 league. And they're like, no one cares about my team. I know. But just bear with me for a second because I had Christian McCaffrey and Russell Wilson and they're both on IR.
Yeah. So
it's been tough. I don't know what to do because like I'm not gonna drop them, either one of them, obviously. No. But it's tough to roster manage when you have two players on IR. And there's a million bye weeks this week.
The bye week really hurt me this last week. I lost in fantasy, and I had been cruising, and the Colts won. And I don't think I've ever won in fantasy and had the Colts won. I think it's like some sort of Mercury in retrograde impossibility for me. I have Mahomes as my quarterback, and then I have Baker as my backup, and I'm thrilled with Mahomes. I know the team is not winning like they used to. I would love to have Murray. I would love to have Josh Allen. I did not see the Justin Herbert writing on the wall like everybody else, but even that game last night, just the stuff. And I know they came up short, and I do not know why they did not kick the field goal. But watching,
you were going to kick the field goal there,
huh?
You were going to kick the field goal there.
I would have honestly asked them to review the third down.
I agree.
I think he got it. I don't know. Wasn't it under 2 minutes? Oh, I guess under 2 minutes, it's just scoring plays.
Yes.
But I think he got it, or he was at least closer than the spot. I don't know. I don't know if that's the play, but I think you do have to go for tying the game. I think you have to take the points in that situation, but I'm honestly impressed with Carson Wentz. And I genuinely did not think I was going to be saying that. I hope he can stay healthy. And I mean that in terms of his body and COVID as an unvaccinated captain of a team. But there is no quarterback drought, and it seems like every week there's these guys that always perform, but then there's new interesting, like, oh my gosh, like people coming out of everywhere that if you're a Steelers fan, you got to be going, okay, we got to wrap this puppy up.
Yeah, and it's like, what do you do if you're them? Like, there's not really any good quarterbacks coming out of college next year. So, like,
They got those sights set on Aaron Rodgers.
Which is interesting because, you know, he was taunting the Bears. And it's like, oh, look, he still loves being a Packer. It's like, just wait.
He just loves winning.
Yeah, I agree. When did you draft Mahomes?
Pretty early. I was the first one to take a quarterback.
Now, are you the only female in your league?
I am, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
And all three leagues, I'm the only female.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, I take pride in it. I've been sticking it to them. And these are my, like, close friends, and my husband is in it. My husband is in last place, and that fills me with joy, for sure.
Yeah, I had a really rough situation because, like I mentioned, I was in L.A., and the Pacific Coast time, I love it.
It fucks you up, though, on fantasy. Yeah.
It really did because I forgot to update my lineup because, oh, I have time. And I started Saquon Barkley. He didn't play.
No.
Did not play.
Yeah, listen, people think it's all easy breezy out here. Beach and mountains and Hollywood. It's tough when it comes to fantasy. You got to wake up. And I remember in my heavy drinking days, I had to retire for a year because I was like, I'm not getting up before 10.
Well, especially with the London game, it started at 6 a.m.
Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible. Megan, I've had so much fun chatting with you today.
This was great, Megan. I hope we made some fun of sports, and this was fun.
I think for our inaugural episode, it was beautiful, and we're going to be doing this every week, every Tuesday, it looks like, and as you guys know, there is never a shortage of drama and fun and people to make fun of, and that's what we're going to be celebrating here at Megan Fun of Sports. Thanks so much, Megan.
Thanks, Meg.